step up to the plate with MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game. Plus, live minor league action and even game day 3D, the ultimate second screen experience. It's all here on MLB Plus for just $5.99 per month.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, everybody. We are live on the debut episode of Sal Sports Live. Welcome in. Sal Capaccio here. And yes, I'm back in mom's basement. For those of you who get that joke, it's been a long time since I've been streaming, doing something like this with a background. However, it looks many years ago, I used to get made fun of for doing stuff like this. Now everybody's doing it because we're in the pandemic and everybody goes to Zoom and all that kind of stuff. But here we are again, ready to rock and roll. So glad you're here. So glad you could come aboard. However you're watching, you could do this on Twitter, Sal Sports. You could do this on Facebook, Sal Sports. You can do this on my YouTube channel as well. I'm so glad to do this every week for you. Really cool that we're going to be able to have Bills talk for you each and every week. Here's my plan. Let me lay it out for you right now, all right? My plan is to do this every single Thursday night, 7:30 to 8 p.m. And yes, that's right. Lord Pagula comes in the chat box and says, remember Justin TV? I did that. It was Ustream. It was Justin TV. We did all that. I was the trendsetter, the blazer. Then everybody else started doing it, and I got made fun of. I moved to Buffalo. I went on radio, on WGR. But now, life comes full circle, right? Here we are. I'm gonna clean up the background. Don't worry. Don't worry about the stuff it says on your screen. We're going to make sure that we get all that taken care of and make it look a lot better because we're just starting this whole thing out, right? I just want to talk Bills football with you. I want to talk NFL with you. And that's really the goal of this every Thursday night. We're going to keep it to 30 minutes every Thursday night. Going to lead you into Thursday night football. Got a lot to get to. And to start it off, I'm going to get to my friend in just a minute, Matt Perino of NewYorkUpstate.com, NewYorkUp.com, Syracuse.com. He's going to join me. And a big reason why I'm asking Matt to do it is because he really helped me out a lot with this. Matt is like the master of all the streaming stuff that's going on. He knows exactly how to do all that stuff. So I'm going to have him come in just a little while. But we got a Bills and Dolphins game to get to as well. We got some updates from the practice field today. I was out there down at One Bills Drive watching the team. John Brown, update on him, the linebackers. The Bills are very banged up at linebacker. Got some things to run through as far as the team is concerned. And then going to head down to Miami in South Florida. I'm going to have a guest on at 7:45, Travis Wingfield. He's basically the Chris Brown of the Miami Dolphins. He's their team embedded reporter. So we're going to have him on to talk a little bit about the Dolphins and the Bills. I know it says 7:35. I'm going to have Matt Perino, but I think I'm ready to bring him in right now. I hope that you can all read everything in the chat box, see everything clearly now. Give me a thumbs up in the chat box if you can. Also, when we're done here, if you missed any of this any week, whether it's tonight or any other time, I'm going to upload the audio of this to my Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. So how about that? You don't have to be here every Thursday night. I want you to be. I want you to watch the stream. But every Thursday night when I'm done, I'm going to upload the audio to the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. So you can just listen that way. You can download, subscribe. That's through WGR550.com. Also, Apple iTunes, those kinds of things. All right. I'm going to bring in my friend Matt Perino to make sure this goes all right right here. Look at that. There you go. Amazing. Dude. This is awesome.
What's like up, brother?
Not nearly as good as yours.
Well, yeah, I'm still waiting for, we've been doing this for about 4 months over on our podcast. And it's, you know, it's the way of the future, right? Like you mentioned, and I'm still waiting for people to make fun of my movie collection behind me, because this was the only spot in my house that I could find to do this. And most of these are my wife's movies. And so I wanted some people to make
have
fun of
it. Have you watched every movie that's behind you?
No, but she has multiple times.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. which one do you need to watch? Like that's behind you. That haven't watched it. You're like, I got to watch this one soon.
Oh, that's a great movie. You know what? I'm embarrassed to say this is her favorite comedy special, Eddie Murphy Raw. God.
You can't do that.
I've never seen the whole thing. I've never
you
seen the whole thing.
You cannot do Eddie Murphy Raw in 2020. Eddie Murphy can't even do Raw in 2020, to be
that's
honest
true.
With you.
That's true.
Right? I mean, but it is super hilarious. There's no doubt about that. Hey, man, I asked you to do this because you have been such a big benefit and help for me to get this thing off and running. It's something I've wanted to do again for a while. And every time I watch you, I'm like, man, Matt's got his act together. He knows what he's doing. So I reached out to you and said, can you help me? And you've been invaluable. You're a good friend. I appreciate that. But for you to help me out professionally to do this, I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, man. That's what we're all about. And people ask me all the time, like it's cool that you have all these Buffalo media guys on your podcast. Like most people think like we're all in here, you know, competing to like the Bills do on Sunday, but you know, there's some competitive spirit to the whole thing, but we're a community, man. Like I think that, you know, idea sharing and, you know, whatever generates the conversation is what this thing is all about. And it doesn't hurt that you're one of my good friends.
No, I appreciate that a lot. You want to see my background? So I got a Buffalo. I got a Buffalo in the background, but then that's a Cleveland Hill Eagle. You know how much I love my Cleveland Hill Eagles. That's a Cleveland Hill Eagle. I got had to rep my team right there. Right. That's the Cleveland Hill Eagles. That's why I put that in my background.
And most of the Bills now are de facto Cleveland Hill alums,
right?
Because they spent most of their summer there. So, yeah.
Yeah. They worked out at the field. No doubt about it. All right. So let's talk Bills a little bit. I'm going to have Travis Wingfield on in about 10 minutes. He's the Miami Dolphins beat reporter for Dolphins.com. So we'll look ahead more with him. But let me look back with you. I know we're Thursday now. The game was on Sunday. You know, the big debate, Matt, in Buffalo all week, we've had it on WGR and everywhere else, is Josh Allen running too much? Now, my position is I don't think it's too much if that's what you have to do to win the game. And I think too much becomes the minute he gets hurt for anybody, right? The minute he gets hurt, someone's going to say it was too much. That could be on the 10th carry or the 5th carry or the 1st carry. I just need him to hold on to the ball. The play calling itself, he's a weapon. I'm fine with it.
That's the thing. Where are your weapons? And, you know, you go back to last Sunday, and I just think that the way that this – it's almost like a shooter. Like Joe Licata always used to say this to me, you know, shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot.
Right.
Like I feel like that's the same type of thing with, you know, a lot of these skill position player guys. And it goes for quarterbacks who like to make plays with their legs and their arm. And I think for Josh Allen to get into the game, he really needs to feel like he's a part of it. He told us last year he likes to get hit early in a game before he really starts to feel like the mojo is going. I was talking about this on a show this week, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because going back to his rookie year, he admitted that his nickname is Joshy Boucher from The Waterboy. It's inspired by The Waterboy. Well, it's just clicking to me, like all of these things over the years, I really think that he has this this Bobby Boucher water boy mentality, where sometimes when he's on the field, he just has that all systems go 110%. I'm going to take your head off. He's a competitor. And so I think you're never going to really be able to coach that out of him. And I'm with you, man. I don't think you should coach it out of him, because some of his biggest plays have come on him breaking a tackle, looking to make a play with his legs. And, you know, we see Lamar Jackson's doing it. The fumbles are an interesting thing. Lamar Jackson only has one less fumble in his NFL career than Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I do want to tell people one of the stats, and this is in no way excusing the fumbles away at all. Please do not take it that way. I always have to remind people that anytime there's a fumbled snap, it goes against the quarterback. The center is never charged with a fumble, even if it's the center's fault. So every time you see the quarterback fumble five times, they could have had two bad snaps, and it's actually charged to the quarterback, even if it's the exchange. I'm not excusing. He fumbles too much. There's no doubt about that. But look, this was the formula for the team. And then I thought about it a lot today, Matt. Here's one other thing I thought about with this, which is it's really overall touches that get him more exposed, because we all know, and I've been debating and fighting with people for the last few days about this, that there's no actual increased injury for him running as opposed to being in the pocket. He got hurt in the pocket against Houston a few years ago. We know that. Guys get drilled in the pocket. But he threw the ball 46 times. He was sacked 3 times, and he ran 12, not counting the 2 kneel downs. I mean, so what's that? 46 plus 3, 49, 61 times that he actually was responsible for the football. That is a lot. And I think if you're going to do that every game, then sure. I mean, opposed to 20 times, you know, whatever it is, that's going to increase the chances, A, that you get hurt, or the chances you fall.
100%. And I think that, you know, I know Bills fans hate hearing this because we're in year 3 with Brian Daboll. You know, this the year 2 really of what this offense for the most part looks like, and you want them to have a really good idea of what they're doing and the personnel that they have. But I do think there's still an element of feeling things out with Stephon Diggs and really how Josh Allen meshes with all the pieces around him now. You have kind of a new backfield. I mean, it was a little bit slow to get going last week. I anticipate a lot more looks for Devin Singletary this week. Something he said interesting this past week was, you know, I asked him about, you know, is it tough when you go a whole quarter and you don't get your carry until a minute left in the first quarter? And he's like, no, but like, it is good to get in a rhythm to get a couple touches. And that's the case. So I think they're going to try to get the running backs more involved here. But I just think it's a feeling out process, something that people have to remember that I don't think they're really putting into perspective early on. Those 4 quarters were really like the first 4 preseason games for these guys. Those were their first real football quarters, football plays of the season. So I think as we go along, they'll have a better idea of what they want to do and how they want to execute.
We have a chat box going. You can go through Twitter, obviously. I think you could do the Facebook, my Sal Sports Facebook. I hope you're subscribed to all these channels. And how about our man, Jeremy White from WGR, coming in and saying, here you go. Nice hat, Matt. There you go. You like that? Nice hat, Matt. UB horns up. So let's talk
courtesy about courtesy of Jeremy White. He got me this hat.
That's why he says it. See, there's always a motive there. He's like, yeah, come on, tell me.
It's my hat. It's the hat in the collection. It's pretty much all I wear.
Speaking of UB, Cam Lewis onto the active roster this week, the Josh Norman injury. This is not a elevation where he goes back down after, you know, Sunday. That's what happened last week. He's on the active roster now, but just with the injuries in general, Josh Norman and IR, Cam Lewis comes up. We saw last week they had to play with that a little bit. This is the thing that people are concerned about this week, which is the linebackers, Matt. I mean, you know, where are you right now as far as the chances of that impacting their ability to perform on Sunday, the linebacker position?
I mean, yeah, it definitely is a concern with your 2 main guys kind of up in the air here. I think a big thing that happened today was we saw Tyrell Dotson return to practice. I wasn't out there. You were out there. So thank you for your updates. But I think that he could kind of fill in for Tremaine Edmonds. Leslie Frazier really liked what he saw in a limited portion before he got hurt last week, but he was a full participant today. And then I think it's going to be AJ Klein in that Matt Milano role. And he's a guy that, you know, when Lorenzo Alexander had to do that in the last couple of years, and this is no knock on Lorenzo. He was a great all-around player, very, you know, really excelled later into his career more than I think anybody thought he could. But athletically speaking, I think AJ Klein is a little bit more apt to play that role, at least on an interim basis, while Milano's out. I mean, Leslie Frazier said it. One of the things that Matt Milano struggled with early on was being able to stay healthy, and the hamstrings were an issue early on in his career. You hope that this is going to be something that trends into a few weeks and where they miss him for a couple weeks. There's some big time offenses coming in here. I mean, you got Sean McVay in the Rams. Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders, who look pretty good in week 1. So you want to get those guys back. But I think they have some guys they can piece in, fill in to get them. I think they might want to hold out Tremaine Edmonds too. I mean, depending on how he looks tomorrow, I think it's a little bit risky. Shoulder injuries, linebacker. You want that thing pretty close to healed before you put him back out there.
Yeah, let me just give you a question here. Norman's on IR. Charlie Pop says, what is the time frame? The answer to that, Charlie, is he is out a minimum of 3 weeks. We count last week, 3 games, actually, 3 games. We count last week because he went on IR before that game. You count week 2, which is this week against the Dolphins. You count week 3 against the Rams. He's eligible to come back, but then what happens is you don't have to have him come back. He can stay out for 4 or 5 or 10 weeks. The minute he practices, he has 21 days to get activated. to the active roster. So Matt's always asking me some questions. I got to try and go look things up. I'm like, you got to make me research this stuff all the time, don't you? Matt, it's crazy, all the new roster rules this year.
Yeah, and Sal's my go-to guy for all of it. I feel bad. I'm always, you know why though? Because you're always diving in, and I'm expecting a thread. So if I don't get the thread, I usually text you and be like, what are you doing, man? Let's get it going here.
All right, listen. So because this is the first show, and like I said, Matt Perino, tell everybody where they can find you, by the way. I'll let you do that.
Yes, New York Upstate, Syracuse.com. All of our coverage will be over there. Myself and Ryan Talbot, we run the website, and our new podcast, Shout, a Buffalo football podcast. You can find it in the same kind of situation that we got going here with Sal Sports Live now. There's so many great shows. I had Matthew Fairburn from the Buffalo Beat on yesterday. There's just, I mean, literally just line them all up in your queue, yeah, and knock them out every week. And there's a lot of really, really good content creators out there. And I'm so excited about this show. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I know, you know, I said to you, I don't want to step on your toes with your show. So that's cool. You know, everybody can go over and watch your show on Wednesday night and come over here watching on Thursday night. And I'm going to lead everybody into Thursday night football. We're going to talk Thursday night football. That's one of the things I want to do on this show, not the Bills. Let's talk NFL. We got a good game tonight. Cleveland, since you got a pick. What do you think?
I think Cleveland bounces back a little bit. I think that offense gets going. I really think that Odell Beckham, Baker Mayfield, there's some motivation there. So I think they come out here and make a statement. And I just think I'm a little bit hesitant to believe Cincinnati's ready for the prime time. Although I do think Joe Burrow will play good today. I think that defense is can do some things in the passing game. But I'm going to go Cleveland.
All right, so I want you to hang on for 1 minute, 10 seconds maybe, because I'm going to bring Travis Wingfield in here, but I'm going to do it while you're on because I want to play with this software in this
website. I like it.
To make it look like to have all three of us together, so let me click this button to do it, add him to the stream. Oh, look at that. There he is. Nice. Oh, my gosh. Travis, how are you?
We're playing. I'm good, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Thank you. Say hi to Matt. We're going to let him go then. Say hi to Matt and bye to Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, see you later.
All right, see you, Matt.
See you later, man. Bye, guys. Best luck.
All right, this is Travis Wingfield, and he's on the Sal Sports Live show right now, coming from Miami. He is the Dolphins reporter for Dolphins.com, and you're by way of Seattle, right? That where it is, West Coast. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you found your way to Miami very recently.
Yes, sir. Go Cougs. I'm a Washington State born and raised. Just got here a few months ago, so I'm living the South Florida lifestyle these days, but I grew up a Dolphins fan, so it was kind of one of those lifelong dreams. Like, I wanted to work in the NFL. I wanted to work in some capacity with football, and the Dolphins were always, you know, my main interest. And so I just kind of started a podcast, and then that turned into a Locked On Dolphins podcast, and that turned into the Drive Time podcast with the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. So it's just been an incremental climb, you know, putting in the dues and getting here. So it's been a lot of fun so far, and I'm excited to get out there for the first game at Hard Rock Stadium this year.
Yeah, awesome, man. I think that's a great message. You know, I was in the business. I left the business and then had to kind of work my way back into the business at a later age. And we talked about it a little bit on the phone, you and I. But that's a great message, which is just stay with it, man, and just keep doing it and keep grinding. And look where you are right now. You're covering an NFL team, and it's pretty cool. And maybe a lot of good things on the horizon for the Miami Dolphins, the way that they're setting up their future. They did draft Tua, obviously, this year. They brought in a lot of new faces. So let's talk a little bit about Dolphins as they head against the Bills in week number two. Let's start with last week. Just last week, obviously, didn't go the way the Dolphins had planned for, but a tough matchup against, you know, the New England Patriots and Cam Newton, of course, in their first game.
Yeah, certainly. And one of the things that Brian Flores and really the Dolphins defenders and entire roster spoke about was they got to do better against the run. I think there's no secret there. The Patriots ran the ball 40-something times, threw it only 19, kind of go away from, you know, the Byron Jones, Xavier Howard combination back there and really use Cam Newton in the power run game and all the quarterback looks that he had in that run game. It was quarterback lead, you know, some sweep action, some option action, some zone read. There was just a lot on the plate there, I think, for a Dolphins team that, you know, the Patriots, there's no film of Josh McDaniels and Cam Newton together until that game. So they were able to kind of put together a plan that maybe was difficult to prepare for. And that's not to make an excuse, as you'll hear, you know, Brian Flores, Emmanuel Ogbah, Kyle Van Noy, Shaq Lawson, former Buffalo Bill, talked about, like, we train for this. We just got to do better. So, you know, no excuses, but Patriots had a good plan. They executed it, and they got the W as they've done for so many years now up there under Belichick.
All right, let's talk about a couple of former Buffalo Bills. So I know that they could be a 3-4 or 4-3. When Shaq was drafted here in Buffalo, he did play a little bit of linebacker in a 3-4, and I know sometimes it's listed that with the Miami Dolphins. What is his role on this team? And also, is it ever quiet around Shaq Lawson? Because it never was here in Buffalo.
He was a lot of fun. We had him at the presser on Wednesday, I think it was yesterday. And he was, you know, he was, someone asked him who he's looking forward to hitting the most. And he was saying, I just want to get out there and beat him. I don't want to hit anybody in particular. He talked about Josh Allen being his guy. You guys had the bubble gum story today. Of course, I think Tre'Davious White mentioned something about, you know, there's finally extra bubble gum in the locker room now that Shaq's gone. So he's been a lot of fun. He has a lot of fun with reporters as well. But as far as his role in the defense, I mean, he's just playing off that edge position. You know, this defense is so multiple that his ability to kind of play inside, outside, and kind of stand up and play linebacker as well and get down that four-point stance and rush the quarterback. And you guys know how well he plays the run as well. So does a little bit of everything here for the Dolphins so far. And I know he's excited to get back out there and play his guys, you know, in the Buffalo Bills, and should be a good matchup for him out there going up against, Deion Dawkins.
Ryan Fitzpatrick gave everything – he gave the Bills everything they could handle last year. They were about to go up two scores even when they were 0-8. Came into Buffalo last year, into Orchard Park. They're about to go up two scores, and then Tre'Davious White got him on the goal line. But Fitz gave them Fitz, pun intended. And even Tre'Davious White said that yesterday, that, you know, they know what they're in for with Ryan Fitzpatrick. What have you seen from Ryan Fitzpatrick even going back to training camp, and whether it's his leadership or just his slinging mentality?
You know, we first had him at training camp last year. I was with a different publication, but talking to Fitz, he was talking about how, you know, I feel like I'm playing the best ball of my career right now. And people kind of scoffed at that. But at the same time, it's like, this is a league where you have 40-year-old quarterbacks, you know, winning MVP. So it's not that crazy in an era where quarterbacks are more protected than ever, that guys, once they have all that knowledge and have seen everything a defensive coordinator can really throw at them, to start excelling at that stage of their career. And I believe that to be the case, because when he first signed in Miami, I went back and looked at some of his work in Tampa Bay. And the number one thing I noticed was that this guy trusts his eyes as well as any quarterback in the league right now, where he sees it pre-snap, he sees it rotate post-snap, and he's going to let that thing fly. And he trusts his playmakers as well. And, you know, kind of live by the sword, die by the sword. He talked about that before the Patriots game in week one, how, you know, no disrespect to Stephon Gilmore, obviously, who was defensive player of the year last year, or Tre'Davious White, another all-pro cornerback, but he's going to trust his guys in Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, Mike Gesicki, to go up and make a play for him. So he trusts it. He lets it fly. He's a you know, high-risk, high-reward quarterback, and he definitely can hit it big and also can, you know, he had three interceptions in that game as well. So he's a kind of quarterback that he can get hot and he can be a little bit streaky.
Yeah, he threw some balls in some really tight windows, and a few of them didn't turn out. But we've seen it the other way here in Buffalo. If you go back to Rex Ryan when he was coaching here on a Thursday night, he's playing for the Jets, Fitz is. And, I mean, he threw some balls I could not believe. He fit where he did and had a great day, and they wound up beating the Bills. But that's Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? I mean, you're going to get some of what you saw last week, which is the three interceptions, but you could also get a 400-yard, four-touchdown passing day.
Yeah, he finished last season with a pair of, I think it was something like 770 yards and five touchdown passes in the final two games. So, you know, we're used to seeing him play pretty well down here. He played the string out pretty well in 2019 as well. So we'll see how he bounces back. You know, that's kind of the, you know, the trend of his career. He mentioned it himself this week, streaky up and down a little bit. And if he can put together a good game, it should be a good game on the scoreboard for Dolphins and Bills on Sunday.
A couple other guys I want to ask you about real quick are the wide receivers. I really like Preston Williams last year. I think he got hurt, though, towards the end of the year. He missed some time. Devontae Parker is a guy that I think that really started to come on last year, and that's, you know, finally maybe justifying where they took him in the draft. But, you know, those guys just kind of give us a little bit of, you know, what they bring to the table as far as playmaking ability.
Yeah, certainly a couple of big bodies on the outside there for Fitzpatrick, and they can really play multiple positions as well too, inside, outside. They, you know, they can run vertical, they can run the short stuff too. You'll see Parker get some work on in breaking routes, whether it's a square in or a slant or a dig, whatever it might be. And he just does so well to use that frame to kind of shield defensive backs away from him. And that's really where he took off last year, you know, fourth most touchdowns in the NFL, fifth most receiving yards in the NFL. And Fitzpatrick has that trust in him to go vertical, even if he is covered. And the way he kind of positions his body and uses that to shield off the defender, where the defender has to make a choice. Am I going to try to go through his body to get to the football, or am I going to try to make a play and get burned deep? So it's kind of a do or die thing for cornerbacks out there. And then Preston Williams, you know, when he got hurt last year, he was leading the rookie receiver class with just about every statistic, catches, yards, and touchdowns. So he was off to a great start, had another good camp this training camp in August. And they complement each other pretty well, I think, because they, you know, they have that size, but also they can get vertical in a heartbeat.
All right, man. So you're enjoying life in the NFL and covering a team. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's pretty crazy, man. It's I wanted to apologize to you because I forgot my mic back at the studio at the facility, and I've got like I'm here by myself. My wife is back home still. She hasn't moved down yet. So like I have this bachelor apartment. So forgive me for having my white wall background. It just looks like I'm in a jail cell or something.
No, that's okay. I think a bachelor apartment in South Florida doesn't sound too bad to a lot of people, to be honest with you. But, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like Sunday. Obviously, you know, there's going to be fans in the stands or it wasn't here. But it's going to be different. It's going to be weird throughout this season. But either way, man, you know, good luck this season. Thanks for doing this. And I hope to catch up with you down the road, obviously.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe things change by week 17. We can come out that way and we can maybe get a beer or something.
Well, maybe you should bundle up then if that's the case, just so you know. Yes. It might be some cold weather. I don't know about that cold, though, Travis, to be honest with you.
I don't do the cold very well. That's why I'm here.
All right, bud. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Sal.
All right, that is Travis Wingfield. He is the Dolphins beat reporter. Are we having fun tonight? This is pretty cool, right? So got a lot of things we're going to be talking about and doing right here. I forgot I was going to give Travis a history lesson about the Dolphins and the Bills, but you know, I've said it before many times, basically in the 70s, the Dolphins kicked the Bills' butt year after year, 20 straight victories. At that same time, Buffalo was losing a lot of jobs. People were, getting laid off in the city, all across Lackawanna. Bethlehem Steel was really, really big at the time. And, you know, whether it was Bethlehem Steel, the auto workers or whatever, just not a good decade for Buffalo in the meantime. And then we had a couple bad winters, including the blizzard of 77, which getting old now, but look it up if you don't know how tragic that was and people died and stuff like that. So Bills fans in the decade of the 70s, basically just all of that anger and all of that angst basically just kind of took it out on and associated, I guess you'd say, with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, that's really what happened. And that's why the Dolphins were really good. They won Super Bowls. And Don Shula was on the competition committee. And he, every time it seemed like they played the Bills, he was getting calls and even other teams. But I remember people always complaining. I can't believe Shula, he gets all the calls, competition committee, stuff like that. But all of that that Bills fans felt about the Miami Dolphins, really, I mean, about what was going on, they kind of took out on and associated with the Miami Dolphins. And I think that's where a lot of the roots of hating the Miami Dolphins come from with Buffalo Bills fans. I grew up, for me, it wasn't the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Ottawa Senators or the Carolina Hurricanes. They didn't even exist, those teams, a couple of them. It was the Boston Bruins. And in football, it was not the New England Patriots. It was the Miami Dolphins. When I grew up, that's who Bills fans hated, right? It was Miami. And then when you go to Miami, it's always called Buffalo South because there's so many Bills fans that go to the game there. Maybe some of you that are in watching tonight are going to the game in South Florida. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what we got going on, not only in the Dolphins game, but tonight in the NFL. It is Cleveland against Cincinnati. I think my plan is at some point maybe to even have like a gambling expert on or something to talk about the Thursday night game. How about a DFS guy, daily fantasy? We could do that, right? We could do some fantasy stuff. I don't think I have any fantasy people in this game, but with the performance last week, I was actually listening to Eric Mangini today. It was on Colin Cowherd. He made a great point about the Cleveland Browns. He said, you know, last week the Browns had a rookie head coach, a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie defensive coordinator, and they had to go on the road when they haven't yet in the preseason, had no preseason games. And oh, by the way, you have to play the Baltimore Ravens, coached by John Harbaugh, and they're really good, and they have Lamar Jackson. It made a lot of sense why Cleveland did not play well and didn't look good. I like some things that Joe Burrow did last week, but tonight, under the lights, first start on national television against a team that has all those personalities that want to get it back on track, I think I like the Cleveland Browns tonight. That's who I would go with. They're favored by 6, I think it is, last I saw, 6.5. Probably would even take them, you know, on the line right there. Now, as far as games, survivor games, I took the Bills in my survivor pool last week. Yes, I did. I never take the Bills week one. I did. I took the Jets in the death pool, you know, a team to win, a team to lose. So that can be different. This week, I'm looking at the games. There's nothing really maybe that stands out. I mean, San Francisco does, but they're going to New York, and San Francisco is super banged up. You could take Arizona, but hey, Washington did beat the Philadelphia Eagles last week. Carolina at Tampa. Tampa bounce back game with Tom Brady at home. That might be the best game to go with as far as a survivor pick this week. So I probably will. If I'm leaning right now, I'd probably lean Tampa Bay. And then I guess I'd take Carolina in the death pool since I'd still have them available. But this is not an easy week to pick a survivor game. It's not an easy week to pick a death pool game. So good luck if you're any of those leagues. We'll see how it goes. All right. So we only got a few minutes left on here. Again, I want to thank everybody for making this possible. Thanks to the folks, my bosses over at WGR Sports Radio 550 as well, for being on board with this. We got a lot more coming your way every Thursday night. See how quick this goes? Every Thursday night, 7:30 to 8. I'm also going to have some good guests on as we go, hopefully, you know, every week getting somebody from the opposing team, the opposing team media. But before I go, I do have one request, and it's not from me. It's from my son, Max. So here's the deal. So Max said, Dad, can you get some subscribers to Max's Playdate? Max has his own YouTube channel. And I'm sorry, but I got to do it because he's my son. And he asked, I'm going to throw in the actual link to Max's YouTube channel. And I need you, if you have a child, to go subscribe to that. That's what you need to do. Go subscribe to that, because maybe you can, I don't even know if you, it's Max's Playdate, basically. It might be a private, it's a kid's channel. He does like Lego stuff. He builds Legos. He plays Minecraft and he puts it on there. It's called Max's Playdate. You can look for it, but there's a link right there I put in there. I'm just telling you, that's what he asked me to do. So I'm doing it for my son here tonight. Thanks a lot to Matt Perino, NewYorkUp.com. Thanks a lot to Travis Wingfield of Dolphins.com. We're going to do this every Thursday night. And like I said, it flew by tonight and it's going to be even a lot better. We're going to make sure we go through everything as thorough as possible for you. Keep everything condensed to 30 minutes because I don't want you to keep you all night. I want you to be able to get to the Thursday night football game. And tonight it is the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. What else am I forgetting? I think there might have been one or two other things, but that's it. All right. All right, ready? We're going to have a good night tonight. Say goodbye. Thank you for in the chat box, however you're finding me. Again, don't forget, it's on Twitter, Sal Sports, Facebook Sal Sports page, and YouTube. And we're working on Twitch. We'll be on Twitch. Sooner or later, I promise you. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy Thursday Night Football.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.